Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Matthew, the gospel text which has already been read. I needed some dirt. It was the mid-90s. We had just moved into the four-bedroom ranch on Westfield Place in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and I was looking at the front of the house, and I could see a lot of foundation showing, and it was clear to me that I needed some dirt. And I needed some dirt, so I called Brownie, who had just done some body work on the 85 Crown Vic. Kate's not a very good driver. And who also sold dirt. I called Brownie, and I told him that I needed some dirt. He said that he could bring me some dirt. And I asked him, what kind of dirt is it going to be? Is it good dirt? Oh yeah, Brownie said, it's good black dirt. Later on that day, Brownie backed up to the front of our house, engaged the PTO, opened the gate on the back of the truck, and out poured 10 tons of brown dirt. I thought you said it was black dirt, I said. It is, he said. That dirt is brown, I said. I thought you said that it was black dirt. And Brownie looked at me like I was from another planet. You mean the color black? Not all dirt is equal. And Southeast Kansas is made up of things like loam and clay and sand. And one of the big employers in Pittsburgh was Mission Clay. They made clay pipes. There aren't any clay pipe factories in Iowa. And once I tried to plant Kentucky bluegrass in Southeast Kansas in my yard, because it's pretty, but it died. So I planted it again, and again it died. And I went back to the fescue, which would grow. And they could grow corn there, but double cropping wheat and soybeans seemed to work better. Not all dirt is the same. And sometimes Jesus tells us what to do. That's the law. Sometimes Jesus tells us what he does for us. That's the gospel. In this very familiar parable, the one that involves the same seed sown on different kinds of soil, he tells us what he has done for us, and he tells us what to do, and mostly he tells us what to expect when we do what he tells us to do. Not all dirt is the same. The soil in Iowa is better than the soil in Southeast Kansas for growing things. In her 1992 Pulitzer Prize winning book, 1,000 Acres, Jane Smiley went to school at the University of Iowa. She taught at Ames for a while. She lives in California now. She relates how that Iowa farmland came to be. She says, untold generations of water, plants, birds, animals, insects lived, shed bits of themselves, and died. I used to like to imagine how it all drifted down lazily in the warm, soupy water. Leaves, seeds, feathers, scales, flesh, bones, petals, pollen, then mixed with the saturated soil below and became itself soil. And she talks about how in some places in Iowa there are 10 feet of that good, rich topsoil that is called black dirt. I checked that out with one of your dirt experts here before service. I said, do you have black dirt around here? He looked like at me like I was from another planet. Yeah, you have black dirt around here. And probably the black dirt in the field behind my house and all around the grain elevator in Milan where I grew up got there because the Mississippi and Rock Rivers flooded. That's pretty good dirt too over there. And the dirt in the San Joaquin Valley in California, that's where a lot of our fruits and vegetables come from, has pretty good dirt. But last time I looked, land there was cheaper per acre than it is around here. Not all dirt is the same. When it comes to making seeds sprout, when it comes to growing things, some dirt is better. Now, the sight of a man planting seeds at planting time was as common in first century Palestine as the sight of a man or a woman at planting time planting seeds around here. And I know that some of you planted seeds last spring. And I know that because I can see corn in the fields. I used to say corn and soybeans, but not anymore. It's mostly corn. And vegetables in the garden. Isn't that what you expected when you planted seeds? that they would grow? Did you plant those seeds expecting them not to grow? And that's why the man in the story is planting seeds. He expects them to grow. And he expects that come harvest time, he will have a crop to harvest. But not all dirt is the same. The soil in the Corn Belt and in California is better than the soil in southeast Kansas. And you get down into Oklahoma, the dirt turns red. And red dirt is not nearly as good as black or even brown dirt. Not all dirt is the same. And then there's Ireland. When reading again Jane Smiley's account of how Iowa soil came to be, and she does know that there are lots of different soil types in Iowa. The book is set in Zebulon County, which does not exist. When reading that account of how that soil formed around here, I could not help but note how similar the formation of good, rich Iowa black dirt was to the formation of the peat bogs that cover about one-third of Ireland. Ireland of old, they had bugs and birds and plants and stuff that fell into the water, but in the climactic conditions there, that organic material turned into peat. You can't grow things in peat. You can dig it up, you can dry it out, and they do, and burn it in their stove. I've done that, they call it turf. But you can't grow anything in it. And it doesn't burn nearly as well as oak in either, by the way. Across the Irish Sea, a short distance away, England grows pretty much anything they want to grow. Not all dirt is the same. The method used by the man in the story is called broadcast seeding. And Wikipedia says that broadcast seeding is a method of seeding that involves scattering seed by hand or mechanically over a relatively large area. And you would take the seed out of your bag. You've seen this in the pictures in Sunday school. Take the seed out of the bag, left to right, broadcast seeding. Wikipedia contrasts this with precision seeding, where seed is placed at precise spacing and depth, like most farmers and gardeners around here. He was spreading seed by the broadcast method, mostly from the grass family, wheat, barley, rye, oats, millet, but not corn. And this guy in the story, well, his soil is all over the place. He has a little bit of Iowa, a little bit of Oklahoma, a little bit of Ireland in just this one field. And onto those very different types of soil, he casts the same seed out of the same bag with very different results. And you have to wonder, don't you, why the same seed grows better in some parts than in others? Why would that be? The seed that landed on the packed soil of the pathway winding through the field was like seed landing on the sidewalk, but at least the birds got a snack. The seed that landed on the soil that was more conducive to weeds, and some soil is more conducive to weeds than to grass, lost the race to the sun and were choked out by those weeds. The seed that landed on rocky soil grew for a time, but the plant was not able to put down roots because rocks are hard, and it also died out. So what do you think? Maybe the man needs to try a different kind of seed. Maybe the man needs to try a different kind of seed. We're going to be hearing Jesus speak to us in parables for the next 3 weeks. This week, he tells a parable about the same seed, different soil. Next week, he'll be telling us a parable about the same soil, different seed. And the week after that, he will tell us a parable about a treasure, a pearl, and a net. It's not that Jesus invented the parable. There are a half dozen or so writings that could be called parable in the Old Testament. And the whole thing, the Old Testament, reads like a story, a true story. It's not that Jesus invented the parable, but Jesus pretty much invented the parable. And he certainly took it to a whole new level. And would we expect any less when God comes into the world than an entirely new literary genre? And it's a good genre, parables, because we like stories. But of course, Jesus doesn't tell stories just to be telling stories. He tells stories because he knows that we like stories, and especially we like good stories. But he also tells stories to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, the word parable means throw beside. And what he does is throw a story out and then he lays beside that story a truth about Christianity. Here and next week, he will explain to us what the parables mean, but after that, we're on our own. And with a good parable, the point is clear, and the parables of Jesus are all good. So he tells this parable, and then he explains it. And here's how he explains it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That this is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for that, what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. Which I know what you're thinking, 30, 60, even 100 isn't that good. Ran this by the internet and my yield expert over there at Grand Mound, and you put a bushel of corn in the ground, you're probably going to get 800 bushels more or less out of the ground, 800-fold. So maybe the problem isn't with the seed. Maybe the problem isn't with the seed. No, clearly, the problem is not the seed, which is the word, which is planted on all the soils. Clearly, the problem is the soil. Those who hear that same word, which is all different. When we proclaim the word in its truth and purity, as we say, what ought we to expect is going to happen? This. This is what we ought to expect when we sow the word in its truth and purity, different results to that same word. Many will hear it. Some will believe. Some will not believe. Some will believe for a short time and then not believe anymore. But there's one thing you can be sure of. The seed, the word, is not the problem. And changing the word will not solve the problem. In fact, it will make it worse, and it will deny that even good soil has a chance to live and grow and be saved. In fact, it seems that the more Christians try to change the word to make it more amenable to society, the more Christianity becomes, well, less Christian. Less Christian. At the beginning of the 20th century, the Christian religion was poised to conquer the world. We had the technology. We had the resources. By the end of the 20th century, 100 years of changing the word, beginning with a tweak here and there, ending with a wholesale disregard for anything the word has to say, has nearly killed Christianity in places where it had been for centuries, and the Christian church has fallen short of conquering the world. So I noticed some dead corn over here. Look like some low-lying area. I think it probably got flooded out. And I suppose that if the farmer had planted acorns instead of corn, or maybe canned green beans instead of corn, his corn would probably still be alive. You know, some of my peppers didn't make it last summer, so this year I planted a coffee cup instead, and I'm hoping for a good crop of peppers this year. And over at Grand Mount, I put some pumpkin seeds on the sidewalk last year, and they didn't grow. So this year, I'm going to spread tennis balls out there on the sidewalk and see if I don't get some pumpkins. No, that won't work, will it? Then why would we think that changing the seed given to us by God to plant the word, why would we think that it would grow a bigger, or is it a better crop of Christians when we change it? Paul had it right, and maybe he had this parable in mind when he reminded the crop of Christians at Corinth, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. So I had coffee at the Hyabian Rock Island with Nicholas Salafu a couple years ago. Nicholas Salafu is a pastor in Ghana. He's studying for his PhD at the St. Louis Seminary. And I asked him, how did he come to be a pastor? And the first thing he told me was that his father still worships stones and trees and has several wives. Then he related how in the mid-70s, a pastor Schmidt, a missionary, came to his village and found good dirt. Nicholas Salafu was later ordained, started a church in his own village, and now is pastor to 27 churches in 27 villages, all of them started by him, good dirt. Small picture, you talk to some people about God and Jesus in the Bible, and they're all ears. You talk to other people about God and Jesus in the Bible, and they're looking for the nearest exit. Big picture, some groups of people are more amenable to Christianity than others. When missionaries go out to sow the word today, what happens? This is always what happens when missionaries go out to sow the word. Some are all ears, others are looking for the door. When my Swedish ancestors crossed over to England to pillage and kill, etc., they were first exposed to Christianity, and Sweden was good soil. Some of them stayed, became English, later moved to Kentucky, became hillbillies, one of my four ancestral trees, Sweden, Belgium, Germany, and hillbilly. Boniface found fertile soil in Germany and most of Western Europe, from whence come most of our ancestors who passed the faith on to many generations after us down to us. And some of you may be newly planted, having only recently become the good soil where Christianity took root and grow. At any rate, none of us got here because a seed other than the word was sown. It has to be the good seed. Last January, I went to the Fort Wayne Seminary for the annual symposium, it's called. It's a gathering of people from all over the world, mostly Americans, mostly Lutherans, mostly pastors, and we listen to speakers, and sometimes they're good, and we socialized. Went to the international reception on Wednesday evening, and at the international reception, I talked to people, Christians, Lutherans from Brazil, Kenya, Argentina, Mexico, Hong Kong, South Africa, Guatemala, Russia, places of varying quality of soil and from other places. Not all dirt is the same. Some of the dirt is better than other dirt for growing Christians. China. China seems to be a good place to grow Christians these days. Good soil in China. Used to be bad soil. When Thomas went there, didn't get much out of the Chinese. And for a couple thousand years haven't. Now China seems to be good soil. What about America? Got good soil here, bad soil here. There's still quite a bit of good soil here. We just keep trying to put that inferior seed into this good soil, and what happens? That night I had dinner in the cafeteria with Pastor Young, and some people were sitting there at the table. They had a different color of skin. We couldn't help but noticing. One was a pastor from Madagascar, an island off the east coast of Africa, where there are about 4 million Lutherans. He said, and not in a boastful way, that his congregation numbers 10,000 and that he has services all day on Sunday and people sit outside and listen to the service, and that's 4 million attending. That's good dirt. And the next evening was the banquet I set between Pastor Dan Johnson and Pastor Alexei Stretlov, the Siberian Lutheran Church in Siberia. And I don't think I told you about Alexei Stretlov. I met him a couple years ago. And I said to him, how does a Siberian Russian guy get to be a Lutheran pastor here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening to theological speakers? Because he had grown up under communism. And he said to me, well, my grandmother worked for the government. She was the Ministry of Propaganda. And her job was to teach people what a crock Christianity is. And as part of her teaching, she had copies of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to teach people that this stuff's all a crock. He started reading those Gospels. He became a Christian. He's a Lutheran pastor in Siberia. That's the word planted in good soil. Otherwise, that Russian dirt has never been very good dirt for growing Christians, and it's having a tough go there in Siberia. Not all soil is the same. All dirt is different. So Jesus tells us to go and sow the word, tells us what to do. And he says he'll take it from there in Isaiah. Isaiah says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it." So we sow the seed by verbally proclaiming God's word. That's what he tells us to do. And God adds to that word water, and we get baptism, and we're supposed to go and preach and baptize. And of that water and baptism in the catechism, Luther talks about what baptism is. Then he talks about the benefits of baptism and says all these great things happen because of baptism. And then he says the question, how can water do such great things? Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. How can water do such great things? Answer, certainly not just the water, but the word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water. For without God's word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says in Titus. So go preach that word, God will take it from there. Go baptize, God will take it from there. And he will also come to us in a very special way, really present, in the sacrament of the altar, where he adds his word also to bread and wine, so that that bread and wine become also his very body and blood, given and shed for you for the remission of your sins. That's what he tells us to do, sow the word. And then he tells us what he has done for us, the gospel. He has sent out people, beginning with the apostles, to plant his word. And he has attached that word to baptism and made it into a life-giving water. And he has attached that word to the bread and wine and made those two things into four things, bread, wine, his body, his blood. And he has put that word of his into the mouths of pastors and others who absolve your sins, and you hear the word and you believe it. And surely, that God who has done all that for us will get us through every hour, every day, every week, for the rest of our lives. So he tells us what to do. He tells us what he has done. And as we upon whom that word has been sown, now go out and sow that word in the world, what ought we to expect? Well, it depends on the soil, doesn't it? Not all dirt is the same. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.